Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking at 8 o'clock, a crash on 540 in North Raleigh leading to some big delays. I'll tell you which exits to avoid this morning.
And it's a colder start this morning. Lots of frost out there this morning. Big coat feels good. Looking ahead to Friday, it's a level 2 and 3 risk for severe storms on this WRAL Weather Alert Day. I'll show you what to expect.
Today, you can weigh in on future plans for the fastest growing part of Wake County. Coming up, how what you say today could impact the future of that area.
The Iowa caucus is days away, and the GOP field of candidates is narrowing. Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis went head-to-head in the last GOP debate before Iowa. Why they both feel the other isn't fit for the nomination. Bit of sparks flying there last night. 8 o'clock here on your Thursday morning, and we just had a nice sunrise. That's what we bring you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yes, we're starting off a little chilly this morning.
Oh, yeah.
But the big talk is about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner standing by. Another WRAL weather alert that you just mentioned, level 2 and 3 risk.
That's right. It changed a little bit overnight last night. The level 3 risk has been shifted a little farther south. So the southern part of Cumberland County, most of Hope County, and a sliver of Moore County still in that level 3 risk. That's where we'd have the better chance of seeing some isolated tornadoes. The rest of the viewing area in a level 2, which is significant. We'll have a line of thunderstorms that comes through during the evening that could produce some wind damage in places, knocking down some trees, causing some power outages. This is a look at the system right now. It's moisture starved at this point, but as it travels eastward, it will pick up some moisture out of the Gulf of Mexico, but it's not likely that we'll see as much rain as we saw on Tuesday. We take a look at futurecast. We start off with clear skies tomorrow morning. We'll end up with some clouds by lunchtime. At this point, it looks like it's more likely to be late afternoon before we see any rain. There's 3 o'clock. We're pretty dry. By 5 and 6 o'clock, we begin to see some of the rain moving in. At that point, some of these little cells here could produce some damaging wind and knocking down trees, creating some power outages. But the best chance of any severe weather will happen starting at around 8 o'clock with that last line that comes through. That's across the middle of the viewing area around 10, and then out of the viewing area around 11 or 12. We're going to talk more about rainfall totals and our severe weather threat coming up. We take a look at Zebulon this morning. Lots of frost on the grass here in front of the historic town hall. It is 32 degrees, a little bit of a wind. So we have a wind chill in a few spots. Fayetteville in particular feels like 29. It feels like 26 in Southern Pines. It feels like 27 now in the Triangle area, 32 in Goldsboro, 25 in Roxboro. A little bit of frost on the windshields this morning and a mild afternoon with sunshine. High temperatures will be in the upper 50s. Brian?
Elizabeth, breaking news here at 8:03. We have a crash on 540 westbound at Falls of Neuse Road. And just in the past minute or so, Raleigh fire crews have arrived on the scene. And you see, it looks like a state trooper's pulling up there. Two left lanes blocked right now on 540 westbound as they respond to this crash, which appears to involve four or five vehicles. We're now measuring an 8-minute delay from Lewisburg Road out toward I-40 overall. But most of that is between Lewisburg Road and that crash at Falls of Neuse. I want to zoom into that area, tell you which exits you want to avoid this morning. Lewisburg Road, Capitol Boulevard, if you're picking up 540 from there, you're going to get stuck in those delays. If you can pick up 540 westbound from Falls of Neuse Road, you should be on the other side of all of that. If you were getting ready to head out right now in Wake County, you can listen to us at 99.3 FM on the radio, and we'll let you know when all of that is cleared. But right now, you want to avoid using Capitol and Lewisburg on 540 westbound as they work to get that crash cleared at Falls of Neuse. We're also tracking a crash in Fuquay Varina heading up toward Garner on Fayetteville Road or 401 at 1010 Road, that northbound side. You can see some backups beginning right around the Wake Tech campus there up toward 1010 Road. Latest update from our sensors indicating now a 12-minute delay on northbound 401 from Fuquay Varina to Garner. You might use Lake Wheeler Road as an alternate route. From there, you can pick up 1010 and rejoin 401 on the other side of that crash. Getting busier certainly on our major routes with congestion building now on US 1 northbound, leaving Apex heading toward Cary. Sun glare delays on 40 eastbound in South Durham and also heading away from the airport back toward Raleigh this morning. About a 10-minute backup in both sections of 40 eastbound there as we deal with those delays over the next half hour or so. Also watching building traffic in both directions of 885.
Good news we've been following in the overnight hours out of Fayetteville. One person is dead after being hit by two vehicles on a busy road. It happened on Bragg Boulevard near Fort Bragg Road around midnight. This is video from the WRL breaking news tracker as police investigated. A witness tells WRL she saw two cars hit that person who has now been identified as 59-year-old Rex Smith. Those cars both drove away. We're working to learn the identity of the drivers.
Leaders want your input on the future of the fastest growing part of Wake County. Today we'll see new plans for the area surrounding the NC 540 loop in the southeastern part of the county. WRL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live this morning from Garner. And Kelsey, in just a few hours, people will be able to let them know what they know.
Michelle, they will be able to give their input on what could happen with the lower Noose area. So right now we're on US 70, and that's the intersection of Guy Road right there in front of you. This is in Garner. This area is a part of the lower Noose area, but let's give you a look at a map so you can get the bigger picture. So this area borders Knightdale, Wendell, and Johnston County. It also includes parts of Raleigh and Garner. This is the fastest growing part of Wake County. Around 17,000 people live there, according to county documents. The Lower Noose plan is about re-envisioning the future of that area, evaluating what homes, streets, and buildings will look like decades from now. Today, you can share your thoughts on what that future should be. Wake County's Planning Board will review all of those plans next month, and today's meeting is scheduled for 11 o'clock this morning at Good Hope Baptist Church in Knightdale. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Garner.
And police in Hillsboro are looking for this man here. They say that he assaulted an officer and then dragged the officer as he drove away in an SUV. This all happened at the Sheets on NC 86 Wednesday afternoon. It started when the officer confronted the man inside the store about stealing. WRL spoke with one of the officer's colleagues who described his emotions when hearing the call and his thoughts about the person responsible.
It's the most terrifying thing you ever hear over the radio is when you hear that an officer's been injured. If he's willing to assault an officer as well as then drag an officer for his vehicle in order to commit a larceny of alcohol, steal beer, I would say he is a dangerous individual.
The officer who was hurt was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. The man was last seen heading toward Durham on I-85.
The field of candidates for the Republican presidential nomination is narrowing just days before the Iowa caucuses. Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley went head-to-head on the debate stage last night in Des Moines. The two top challengers to former President Donald Trump for the nomination attacked each other's qualifications for the job, each saying it's not just about policy. They argued the other is fundamentally unfit for the job.
We don't need another mealy-mouthed politician who just tells you what she thinks you want to hear just to try to get your vote, then to get in office and to do her donors' bidding.
He's only mad about the donors because the donors used to be with him, but they're no longer with him now. And that's because he's upset about the fact that his campaign is exploding.
DeSantis accused Haley of being someone who would repeatedly cave to the, quote, woke mob. Haley, meanwhile, repeatedly called DeSantis a liar and trashed his campaign for wasting money on things like private jets.
And hours before the debate, Chris Christie announced that he is dropping out of the race. He made the announcement during a town hall in New Hampshire. He has not given an endorsement to another candidate. And at the event, Christie was caught on a hot mic saying former President Trump would beat either of the remaining candidates. Trump addressed that during his own town hall last night in Iowa.
He had a hot mic where he was talking to somebody about the weather, and he happened to say that she doesn't have what it takes, she'll be creamed in the election. And I mean, I know her very well, and I happen to believe that Chris Christie is right. That's one of the few things he's been right about.
And Trump also indicated he has made up his mind about who he would tap as a running mate if he wins the Republican nomination. His campaign quickly downplayed the remark, telling NBC News nothing is finalized about a potential VP pick.
Durham leaders are looking for your thoughts on how the city's upcoming budget should be prioritized. A community conversation on the budget is planned for tonight from 6 to 8. It's happening at the Holmes Recreation Center on South Alston Avenue. Two more forums are planned on January 20th and January 23rd. There will also be a virtual meeting January 30th.
Vice President Kamala Harris will be in North Carolina today. She'll be in Charlotte to talk about how to reduce gun violence in America. Harris will be joined with educators, counselors, and parents. This will be her ninth trip to North Carolina since being sworn in.
10 minutes after 8, Monday marks 15 years since the crazy landing of a U.S. Airways plane on the Hudson River. Today, we hear Captain Sully Sullenberger recount the moment he realized landing on the water was the only option to save those people's lives.
Plus, fast food chain Popeyes has a few favorites this year for the Super Bowl. How certain items winning could mean free chicken for you. And we're expecting another round of severe storms tomorrow. But before the severe weather begins, it is likely to be windy. Tomorrow, late in the day, we could see gusts up to 40, 45 miles per hour. I'll show you the timeline for the wind damage potential coming up.
Eight 13 is the time right now. We'll give you this live look down in Wrightsville. Take you all the way to the coast right now. It is chilly no matter where you are on this Thursday morning. We're glad you're with us, though. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now talking about the WRL Weather Alert Day for tomorrow and how that's going to time out, Elizabeth.
Timing-wise, it may feel a bit like it did in terms of severe storms on Tuesday. We're going to see them mainly in the afternoon, starting around 4 or 5 o'clock, and then lasting until around 11 o'clock or midnight. It's a level 2 and 3 risk, but the level 3 risk covers a very small part of the viewing area. Damaging wind would be our biggest threat. Tornadoes can't be ruled out, but we'll likely have fewer tornado warnings than we did on Tuesday. Here's a look at this system. It's much different than what we saw on Tuesday. There's very little moisture associated with it. It came on shore up near the Pacific Northwest. It's been in a cool atmosphere. The colder the air is, the less moisture it can hold. The system on Tuesday came on shore farther south in California where it was warmer. It was closer to the Gulf of Mexico. It had more time to slurp up all of that moisture before it made it here. So we had an inch and a half to 2.5 inches of rain. Our forecast with this one is only about a quarter of an inch to 3/4 of an inch. So it'll be somewhat moisture starved. It doesn't mean that it can't do some damage. We have a level 2 risk for most of our viewing area. But at this point, the level 3 is just for southern Cumberland County, most of Hope County, and a small sliver of Moore County. That's where isolated tornadoes are more likely. We had a lot of tornado warnings on Tuesday and no actual tornado damage, fortunately. And I feel like our chances will be even less for tomorrow. The best chance of any tornadoes is going to be closer to the South Carolina line and into South Carolina. That's where we would have maybe closer to a 10% chance. Let's talk about the fuel for the storms as well. It doesn't even start rolling in here until around 8 to 9 o'clock. And really from Fayetteville southward, see the darker blue or even the green area is where we'd have a better chance of enough spin and energy in the atmosphere for a tornado. And so it's a short time period for very little of our viewing area, at least according to that computer model. We take a look at Futurecast. We start the day with some sunshine. We'll end up with some cloud cover by lunchtime. And then it may be quite a while before we see some showers and thunderstorms developing closer to the time of the evening commute. And then we'll have some cells that pop, that come through, could produce some wind damage. And then finally, the line between, say, 8 and 9 o'clock, around 10 o'clock in the middle of the viewing area, and then moving out by around midnight. But it's just not going to be as heavy in terms of our rainfall as we saw on Tuesday, looking at 1/4 of an inch to maybe 3/4 of an inch. It will be a blustery day. The winds start to pick up during the afternoon, gusting to around 25. During the evening, gusting up to 45 miles per hour, even outside of the thunderstorms. So wind damage, trees down, some isolated power outages, tornadoes, a lesser chance. Flooding really doesn't look like we would have much of a potential there. 64 on Friday for our WRL Weather Alert Day, but the weekend is looking fine. We'll see some sunshine and near normal temperatures Saturday and Sunday for Martin Luther King Day. On Monday, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies. It'll be dry if you're headed out to the prayer breakfast. Brian?
8:16 right now, still watching this breaking news on the north side of Raleigh with a crash on 540 westbound, blocking the two left lanes there at the Falls of Neuse Road interchange. EMS now on the scene as they work to get this cleared. We're watching those delays getting a lot worse on that westbound side of 540 from Lewisburg Road, an 11-minute backup now. Let's take a look at that area on the map to show you which exits you need to avoid this morning. If you pick up 540 westbound from Lewisburg Road or Capitol Boulevard, you're going to be stuck in all that. But if you can pick it up from Falls of Neuse Road, you should be in good shape on that westbound side of 540. However, we are seeing some eastbound onlooker delays on 540 heading away from Six Forks Road back toward Falls of Neuse Road. Just in, a report of a crash with injuries on Capitol Boulevard at Burlington Mills Road. So that ride coming in from Wake Forest on southbound Capitol is going to be slow for a little while. Also, near the Wake Franklin County line, a report of a crash on Waite Avenue, not too far from NC 96 at Moores Pond Road. We're working to get some details about that crash. Still tracking this one in Fuquay on 401 northbound near 1010 Road. Latest update from the sensors now showing a 7-minute delay between Fuquay and Garner.
All right, thank you, Brian. Human rights supporters around the world will protest today about the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center, which opened 22 years ago today. Locally, a group called NC Stop Torture Now will protest at noon outside Congresswoman Deborah Ross's office in Raleigh. They're calling on Ross and other members of Congress to take action in support of closing the detention center.
Monday marks 15 years since the miracle on the Hudson. That emergency landing made Captain Sully Sullenberger a household name. Some of us will never forget that image of the U.S. Airways jet floating on the Hudson River, the passengers being rescued from the frigid water. The aircraft hit a flock of birds while taking off from LaGuardia, headed to Charlotte. 15 years later, now Sully is reflecting on the moment he and his co-pilot realized a water landing was their only option.
Was there a part of you that thought, this could really go sideways pretty quickly? Or did you think immediately, I'm going to do it. This is going to work. I'm going to save these lives?
The latter. I mean, my definition of success was complete, absolute. But I was confident that if I could keep the airplane intact and land in a way that people didn't get hurt during the landing, it would float long enough for us to be rescued.
Well, five people got hurt, but that was small potatoes when you talk about 155 people, including the crew, that survived that emergency landing on the Hudson River January 15th, 2009.
Absolutely incredible. Well, U.S. officials are working to bring Paul Whelan, the former U.S. Marine detained in Russia, home. President Biden met with Whelan's sister Elizabeth yesterday alongside National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. They spoke about the administration's ongoing efforts to secure Paul's release. Whelan was arrested in Moscow in 2018 on espionage charges. He recently called on President Biden to use every resource available to secure his release. Whelan also denounced the fact that he was not included in the 2022 prisoner swaps that freed detained Americans Trevor Reed and WNBA star Brittany Griner. Well, check out this video from Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. A major storm sweeping through New England caused widespread flooding. Video shows waves crashing onto a main road there.
And at least one car was damaged after these waves crashed inside a Washington State ferry. Video shows water rushing past those parked cars on the ferry. It was reportedly crossing the Puget Sound on Tuesday when all this happened. A spokesperson for the ferry says that vessel had minor damage to it.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, our neighbors here aren't the only ones cleaning up after Tuesday's severe weather. Let's take a look at brand new video into our newsroom out of Jackson County, Florida. This is up around the panhandle of Florida. You can see the damage left behind by a tornado. Several homes were damaged, debris scattered everywhere. You can see neighbors helping neighbors to clean up. Many neighborhoods were severely affected by Tuesday's tornadoes, as you can see from this video. Thousands in the area are still without power. Power companies have been working around the clock to get that power restored. And of course, many of our neighbors can relate to what they're going through down here ahead of what will be another WRL weather alert day that we'll help you through starting tomorrow.
Thanks, Ken. UNC and NC State basketball have triangle fans feeling like it's 1974 again. That's the last time the teams were both undefeated in ACC play when they got together to square off. This was the PNC Arena version last night. Video from the last time it happened 50 years ago, now updated to here. This marquee matchup didn't play out the way NC State fans would have wanted, but UNC came up with the win on the road, 67-54. The game was a hot ticket. Last-minute seats were selling for more than $1,000 on sites like StubHub. Fans who were also able to snag a ticket say they would not have missed this game for anything.
I found a deal today, and so last-minute deal, so I couldn't pass it up.
This is my first time at a UNC game. I've been a State fan for my entire life. I absolutely love State.
With the win, UNC takes over sole possession of first place in the ACC. The teams will play again March 2nd at UNC.
The NFL Seattle Seahawks are looking for a new head coach. The team announced yesterday that Pete Carroll will no longer serve as head coach. Instead, he'll move into an advisory role with the team. Carroll has coached the Seahawks for 14 seasons. He led them to consecutive Super Bowls a decade ago, including a win in Super Bowl 48. There are now seven NFL teams with head coaching job vacancies.
It's been a tough week. Bill Belichick, the latest to go out of New England. If any of Popeye's three favorite teams win the Super Bowl, they're going to give out free wings. The chain says customers can get 6 free wings if a team with a bird mascot wins it all. So the Baltimore Ravens, the Philadelphia Eagles, also the Buffalo Bills are included in this free wings deal because of the Buffalo wing connection. You get it. The offer will be available with online or in an app purchase February 13th, 2 days after the Super Bowl.
Free wings. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a big weekend for the NFL, and we have several playoff games happening. 4:30 on Saturday, the Cleveland Browns play the Houston Texans on WREL. Wild Card Weekend continues on Sunday at 4:30. Green Bay Packers will travel to Dallas to play the Cowboys on Fox 50. And then at 8, the Detroit Lions host the Los Angeles Rams on WREL. The NFL is taking some heat over one of the other games. Dolphins and Chiefs games will be streamed live on Peacock. It's the first NFL playoff game to air exclusively on a streaming service. We'll have more news, weather, and traffic after the break.
To get into your car, tune to WREL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Busy morning out there on the roads. Brian Schrader tracking a crash on I-40, Brian.
Yes, on 540 out at the Falls of Neuse Road interchange on the westbound side, we have a crash blocking 2 left lanes there. We're up to a 16-minute delay as you head from Lewisburg Road to I-40. As we take a look at the map, those backups begin before you get to Lewisburg Road. So if you're trying to pick up 540 westbound, avoid doing it from Lewisburg Road or Capitol Boulevard. Maybe scoot on down toward Falls of Neuse Road. From there, you should be in pretty good shape heading out towards Six Forks. We have a crash on Capitol Boulevard around Burlington Mills Road. That southbound trip coming in from Wake Forest toward 540 now up to a 12-minute delay, Elizabeth.
Tomorrow's a WREL Weather Alert Day. The timeline for storms likely to be during the evening, around the evening commute up until around midnight. Mostly it's a level 2 risk with just a small portion of our viewing area in the south and that level 3 risk. Damaging wind would be our biggest threat. We'll be talking more about that coming up on Fox 50 and, of course, all day long on WREL. We take a look at Goldsboro. Nice and clear. Beautiful out there. Grab the coat. It's colder than it's been the last several mornings with temperatures down into the upper 20s, low 30s. It'll be a pleasant afternoon if you're out for exercise. Temperatures in the upper 50s, but by sunset, we're into the 40s. All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Today, leaders will unveil plans for the Lower Neuse area, which is where the future southern loop of NC 540 will be. The area borders Knightdale, Wendell, and Johnston County, and parts of Raleigh and Garner. You can give input at the meeting that begins at 11 o'clock at the Good Hope Baptist Church in Knightdale. And one person is dead after they were hit by a vehicle in Fayetteville. It happened on Fort Bragg Boulevard near Fort Bragg Road around midnight. This is video from the breaking news tracker. As police investigated, we are working to learn the identity of the driver and the person who died. We'll have more news, weather, and traffic over on Fox 50.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WREL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news at 8:30. We're still tracking big delays in North Raleigh with a crash on 540 westbound. I'll tell you which exits you're going to want to avoid.
And, of course, it's a cold start out there this morning. Lots of frost on the windshields early. Looking ahead to Friday, it's a WREL Weather Alert Day. I'll show you some changes to our level 3 risk coming up. And breaking news in Fayetteville, one person is dead being hit twice by 2 different cars. What a witness says happened moments after that incident.
Plus, Boeing CEO is speaking out after the Alaska Airlines in-flight nightmare. Why he says he was brought to tears when he saw the damage of that plane. Lots to get into here, 8:30 on our Thursday morning. Glad you're with us. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, we're talking weather because tomorrow, another WREL Weather Alert Day. A lot of us under that level 2 and 3 risk. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has the map to break it down for us to show us who are under those risks. Most of us are under a level 2 risk for severe storms, of course, which means we would have more widespread storms that could cause some power outages with straight line winds. The orange area, the level 3, is where we'd have a more likely chance of seeing tornadoes. And you could see
see tornadoes in that level two, but they're just more likely in the level three. But early this morning, the Storm Prediction Center pulled that back to the south a little bit more. So just the southern part of Cumberland County, most of Hope County, and the southwestern corner of Moore County under that level three risk. Definitely looks like damaging winds would be our biggest threat. This system does not have as much moisture associated with it. The rain will not be as wide. We won't have as heavy a rainfall with this. And it doesn't look like we're going to have as strong a line of thunderstorms as we did. Had a sort of a double line that came through on Tuesday. Here's a look at the timeline. We're sunny to start the day tomorrow, and then we'll see increasing clouds. We may not see much shower and thunderstorm activity until closer to the evening commute. At that point, we'll have some isolated cells that could produce some wind damage, possibly knocking down some trees and causing some power outages. But the best chance of the strongest storms is going to come later in the evening, between 8 and 9 o'clock in our western counties, between 9 and 10 in our central counties, and between, say, 10 and midnight in our eastern counties. We take a live look outside right now. Frosty lawn there in Zebulon in front of their town hall. 32 degrees right now. A little bit of a wind chill. Feels like 29 in Fayetteville. Feels like 27 in Durham. 28 in South Hill. 31 in Rocky Mount right now. So it feels like mid-20s to low 30s, and it may take you a little time to scrape the frost off your windshield, unless you're parked in the sun. That sun has been up for a little while now. A pleasant afternoon with sunshine and highs in the upper 50s. But coming up, we're going to talk more about the differences between Tuesday's system and the one coming tomorrow. Brian?
It's 8:32 right now. We're still watching this breaking news on the north side of Raleigh with a crash with injuries up on 540 westbound at the Falls of Neuse Road interchange. Taking a look at that live camera, we can tell you they have opened one of those lanes. We still have the left lane blocked out there, but at least traffic has another option to get through there. Raleigh police on the scene investigating that crash, and maybe a little while yet before it's cleared. About a 14-minute delay showing up right now on sensors from Lewisburg Road out to I-40. Let's take you up to that area on the map in North Raleigh and show you where those delays began. On 540 westbound, all the way back around Buffalo Road. That's where the backups start, and it continues through Lewisburg Road and Capitol Boulevard. Try to avoid picking up 540 westbound from those two spots. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck in a lot of traffic heading out toward Falls of Neuse Road. If you can pick up 540 westbound from Falls, you'll be fine. Look out for a little bit of an onlooker delay on the eastbound side of 540 coming in from Six Forks Road back toward Falls of Neuse Road. We have a crash with injuries on Capitol Boulevard at Burlington Mills Road. So leaving Wake Forest this morning on southbound Capitol, you're going to run into about a 10-minute delay because of that crash. Over near the Wake Franklin County line on Waite Avenue, there's a crash right around Moores Pond Road. You can see some delay showing up there. That reportedly is a crash with injuries, so allow some extra time right there around the county line. Good news, though, in Fuquay Varina, that earlier crash on 401 northbound around 1010 Road now has cleared and traffic is flowing freely. If you're in Wake County and you're getting ready to head out now, listen to us on the radio at 99.3 FM, and in Durham at 96.5 FM as our local news continues there.
Thanks, Brian. News out of Fayetteville. We've been following in the overnight hours. One person is dead after being hit by two vehicles on a busy road there. It happened on Bragg Boulevard near Fort Bragg Road around midnight. This is video from the WRL breaking news tracker as police investigated. A witness tells WRL she saw two cars hit the person who has now been identified as 59-year-old Rex Smith. Both of those cars then drove away. So police are looking for them, and we're working to learn the identity of those drivers.
Southeast Wake County will be growing quickly in the coming years. The NC-540 project, that's all a big part of that. And today we'll see new plans for that development. As WRL's Kelsey Coffey tells us, people can share their thoughts during tonight's public meeting.
In just a few hours, you'll have your shot at weighing in on plans for the Lower Neuse area. So right now, we're in Garner on US 70 and Guy Road. This is a part of that area, but let's give you a look at a map so you can get the bigger picture. So this area borders Knightdale, Wendell, and Johnston County. It also includes parts of Raleigh and Garner. This is the fastest growing part of Wake County. Around 17,000 people live here, according to county documents. The Lower Neuse Plan is about re-envisioning the future of that area, evaluating what homes, streets, and buildings will look like decades from now. Today, you can share your thoughts on what that future should be. Wake County's Planning Board will review those plans next month, and today's community meeting is scheduled for 11 o'clock this morning at Good Hope Baptist Church in Knightdale. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Garner.
Police in Hillsboro are looking for this man. They say he assaulted an officer and then dragged that officer as he drove away in an SUV. It happened at the Sheets on NC 86 in Hillsboro Wednesday afternoon. It started when the officer confronted the man inside the store about stealing. The officer who was hurt was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. The man was last seen heading toward Durham on I-85. Anyone with information should call police. New this morning, we have learned the name of one of the people who was found dead in Raleigh this week. Police were called to a reported suicide threat on Tollington Drive around 9 Tuesday night. Their investigation led them to Plaza Place, about 10 miles away. It was there they found a man dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound, along with a woman also shot to death. The woman's brother reached out to WRL, confirming it was his sister, Liliana Concha Perez, who was the woman killed. She leaves behind two children and a grandchild. So far, we don't know how or whether she and that man knew each other. We do know police are not looking for any suspects in the case.
The field of candidates for the Republican presidential nomination is narrowing days before the Iowa caucuses. Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley faced off on the debate stage last night in Des Moines. The two top challengers to former President Donald Trump for the nomination attacked each other's qualifications for the job. They also clashed on key issues, including abortion.
I think she's been confused on the issue. I think she's trying to speak to different groups with different things. But when she says things like pro-lifers need to stop talking about throwing women in jail, that's a trope. No one I've ever met thinks that that's something that's appropriate.
Our goal should be, how do we save as many babies as possible and support as many moms as possible? That's what we're going to focus on doing. We're not going to demonize this issue anymore. We're not going to play politics with this issue anymore.
And hours before the debate, Chris Christie announced that he is dropping out of the race. He has not yet endorsed another candidate, but he was caught on a hot mic saying he thinks former President Trump would beat either candidate. And former President Trump once again skipped the debate, instead participating in a town hall on Fox News. During the event, he said he believes his reelection is crucial for the U.S. economy.
We have a situation which I believe the stock market goes up because I'm leading. I think if I wasn't leading, the stock market would be 25% lower. And I think, frankly, if I didn't win, I think the stock market would crash.
And Trump also indicated he's made up his mind about who he would tap as a running mate if he wins the Republican nomination. His campaign quickly downplayed the remark, though, telling NBC News nothing is finalized about a potential VP pick.
The power is back on for tens of thousands of people affected by Tuesday's storms, but for many, the cleanup is far from over. One Garner woman is thankful to be alive after a tree snapped at its base and fell right through the roof of her home. Layla Jabbar says she was sitting in an office chair when that tree crashed down on her. She was forced to crawl to safety through a narrow opening in all that debris. She preferred to stay off camera for an interview as she spoke to WRL about this scary experience.
I am so lucky to be alive. It's just stuff. It's a lot of stuff. But I'm really just amazed that I survived this.
Jabbar went to the hospital with a concussion. Others in her neighborhood are also working to clean up after the fallen trees and branches covered their yards after that storm. With another storm system on the way, we want you to make sure you have the WRL News app on your devices. Turn the notifications on and we will alert you to flooding, possible tornadoes and traffic problems.
Well, this is a live look at the tower here at the WRL studio. Tonight it will be lit up in blue to raise awareness of human trafficking for Human Trafficking Awareness Day. State government buildings and state employees will also be in blue. Human Trafficking Awareness Day falls on January 11th every year. North Carolina consistently ranks within the top 10 states in the nation for human trafficking. To show support for change, state employees are encouraged to wear blue and share selfies as part of the national hashtag Wear Blue campaign.
20 minutes before 9 on your Thursday, some restaurants are looking for new ways to fill much-needed roles. Coming up, how one California restaurant is using technology to serve up meals without sacrificing taste.
And Starbucks is being sued. Just ahead, why one advocacy group says the coffee shop is using false advertising on their products.
Welcome back on your Thursday. Time now, 8:44, live look over beautiful, sunny Wilson. You can see the whirligigs kind of going there. It's a little windy out there. Feeling pretty chilly, though. You're looking live there. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. The big story is tomorrow. Tomorrow, another WRL Weather Alert Day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with what we can expect tomorrow.
So we're going to see most likely some scattered thunderstorms in the evening. A few of those could produce some wind damage. I wouldn't expect as many wind damage reports as we saw last Tuesday. I wouldn't expect the rain to be as heavy. We do have a level 3 risk, which early this morning, the Storm Prediction Center pulled back a little bit. So southern Cumberland County, most of Hope County, and the southwestern corner of Moore County is still included. Our better chance of isolated tornadoes would be here. I mean, we could see them anywhere, but the system just doesn't look quite as potent as the one that came through on Tuesday. Take a look at it right here coming across the Rockies. There's a little bit of snow with it, but not a lot of moisture. Tuesday's system was crossing the country. It was farther south. It had better access to the Gulf of Mexico to pull up that moisture. This one's going to pass a little farther to the north, so we won't see as much rain. And that also will feel a good bit different than what we saw. Not that we won't have some heavy rain, but it's not likely to come in so many waves like we saw on Tuesday. As a matter of fact, we're not likely to see any of it until much closer to the evening commute. We may have a few isolated showers after lunchtime, but we'll have a better chance of rain starting at around 5-6 o'clock. Notice some of the cells there. You can see the yellow and red. Those are areas where there could be some severe storms, could have some wind damage, some trees down, some power outages possibly. And then here's the line, which just looks a lot more broken than the line that we saw on Tuesday. But nevertheless, this is where we'd have the best chance of seeing any severe storms, especially from the triangle area southward. This is going to be 9 o'clock in our western counties, around 10 o'clock in our central counties, and around 11 o'clock to midnight in our eastern counties. You know, it was a pretty windy day on Tuesday, too. We'll see that even before the thunderstorms start to move in. We'll see winds gusting in the afternoon, 25 to 30, and then at times as much as 40 to 45. And that in itself could cause some small trees to fall, especially as wet as the ground is right now. The ground is soggy. The roots don't have as much grip to the ground. Flood stage forecast for us. Neuse River at Smithfield, Tar River at Lewisburg at minor flood stage today. The Tar River at Tarboro likely to be at minor flood stage this weekend. The only thing we see with those flood stages in those locations is water in the parks. So the river creeps up into some of those riverside parks and causes a little bit of flooding there and on the greenway. So watch out for that. It's a cold start this morning, still sitting at 32. There's been a little bit of a wind chill. Feels like 27 in the Triangle, 29 in South Hill. Feels like 29 in Fayetteville and 26 in Southern Pine. So it's cold out there. We'll see a milder afternoon that was sunshine and temperatures in the upper 50s to around 60. Tomorrow, even warmer with that, of course, severe weather in our viewing area, 64 degrees. But then over the weekend, everything settles down. We'll see clear skies, temperatures close to normal. For Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we're looking at dry conditions during time for the prayer breakfast. We will see increasing clouds and another chance of rain on Tuesday. Brian?
Elizabeth, quick update here at 8:47. We still have the lane blocked there, left lane blocked on 540 westbound at Falls of Neuse Road because of that earlier crash. A little bit of good news. It looks like those delays are easing up just a touch. An 11-minute backup now showing up between Lewisburg Road and 540. Those delays holding pretty steady, beginning just before you get to Lewisburg Road through Capitol Boulevard, but then it clears up once you hit Falls. If you can pick up 540 westbound from Falls of Neuse Road, that's going to be your best option. Also, look out for those onlooker delays on the eastbound side of 540 from Six Forks Road back toward Falls. And as soon as you get through that interchange, it clears up quickly heading toward Capitol Boulevard. Watching some building delays, though, coming in from Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard with a crash with injuries at Burlington Mills Road. You can see those heavy delays beginning right around Main Street on southbound Capitol. Right now, our sensors are indicating an 18-minute delay coming in from Wake Forest down toward 540, so you need to allow plenty of extra time. Elsewhere around the Triangle, we're in fairly good shape. Still watching a little bit of a sun glare delay as you head through the south side of Durham. A 4-minute backup right now on 40 eastbound from Chapel Hill to 885.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken wrapping up his fourth Middle East tour in Egypt this morning. This is Blinken arriving in Egypt. The tour included stops in Turkey, Greece, Jordan, the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia. Now, most of this trip focused on the United States' support of Israel as Israel continues its months-long military campaign in Gaza. Blinken also pressed Israel to improve humanitarian aid to Gaza. We'll continue to follow this story for any new developments here in the WRA Live Center.
All right, thanks, Ken. A funeral for fallen Greensboro Police Department Sergeant Philip Nix is happening today. It'll be at 2 o'clock this afternoon at Westover Church in Greensboro. The service will also be live streamed online. Nix was shot and killed at a Sheets in Guilford County on December 30th while trying to stop a crime. Three people are charged in his death.
We're hearing from the CEO of Boeing about the near catastrophic mid-air emergency on an Alaska Airlines flight. In an exclusive interview with CNBC, David Calhoun says he was devastated and emotional when he saw the gaping hole left in this plane by a blowout of the door panel. Calhoun says a quality control error happened to allow that plane to fly in the first place. He says he's working to learn if that breakdown happened at Spirit AeroSystems, which makes the fuselage, or at Boeing itself. Calhoun says he is thankful no one was seated near that door.
What I really saw was the empty seat. And I had spent a week with my kids and grandkids, and so enough said.
In a meeting with employees this week, Calhoun told them that passenger confidence in Boeing is at stake right now. The NTSB is looking for signs of metal fatigue and whether the door that blew out was ever properly secured.
And this morning, we are hearing from someone who saw the avalanche at a California ski resort that killed a man and injured another person. The avalanche happened 9:30 yesterday morning. The resort sits on the western side of Lake Tahoe and is 40 miles from Reno. Jen Wickenpleck was on the ski lift when she says she saw the avalanche come rumbling down the mountain. Immediately, she and other skiers jumped into action, working with resort staff and first responders to look for those buried in the snow.
These like line formations where you're like shoulder to shoulder and everybody starts just poking the snow. You either hit rock or you hit a body.
Wow. The sheriff's office identified the man killed as 66-year-old Kenneth Kidd. The slope just opened for the first time this season, minutes before that avalanche hit. A strong winter storm is likely what led to that avalanche.
600,000 Ram pickup trucks are being recalled to replace an illegal emissions device. Collins Incorporated, the engine manufacturer for Dodge Rams, announced the recall as part of a $2 billion settlement. The company was sued by the U.S. Justice Department and the state of California for illegally installing devices to cheat emissions testing. The devices will be replaced in all Ram 25 and 3500 made from 2013 to 2019.
How would you feel if you knew a robot was responsible for cooking your meal? That's what's happening at this California restaurant, using an AI robot called Flippy to serve up both burgers and fries. The technology uses cameras and sensors to ensure all products are cooked and perfected, all while cutting down on the number of real people needed to keep that kitchen running.
This is a complete game changer. I mean, you might have 6 to 12 people working in a restaurant during the rush. We have 2, maybe 3 if it's a really high capacity location.
The restaurant's owner says the robot is a great solution for filling important roles in the kitchen where it can be hard to find reliable employees.
An advocacy group is suing Starbucks for its claims of ethically sourcing its products. National Consumers League accuses Starbucks of false advertising. Starbucks claims to be committed to 100% ethical sourcing its coffee and tea. But the lawsuit claims the company gets some of those products from farms that have committed human rights and labor abuses. Starbucks says it'll aggressively defend itself against those allegations. TGI Fridays is announcing it is closing 36 of its restaurants in the U.S. The company says the affected restaurants are underperforming. They did not say where the restaurants are located, but transfer opportunities are being offered. There are 7 locations across North Carolina, including one in Garner.
One of the greatest college football coaches of all time is stepping away. Nick Saban says he's retiring after 28 seasons as a head coach. The last 17 were with the University of Alabama. The Crimson Tide won 6 national championships under Saban's leadership. Before that, he also won one as head coach at LSU. He also developed 4 Heisman Trophy winners, including current Carolina Panthers quarterback Bryce Young. To me, you think college football, you think Nick Saban.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the best of the best. That's probably a very controversial statement. But to me, I mean, he's amazing.
And his good friend Bill Belichick. You think Super Bowls?
Yeah.
That's Belichick gone, too.
Yeah.
Now, before we go to break, winning lottery numbers on your screen right now. We'll check weather and traffic next.